20-somethings people. Welcome back to another episode of 20-somethings podcast. My name is Sarah and I am your host. And I'm a little unwell today. If you can't tell, I'm not my normal, psychotic, manic, excited, loud self. But I'm alive and I wouldn't say I'm thriving, but I am surviving. I am just a little bit hungover today, because I'm really trying to foster a social life, which is something I kind of gave up on a few years ago during COVID and being in a serious relationship. So now that COVID, I mean, obviously it's still a thing, but people aren't really acting like it's a thing. And now that I'm single and I, you know, back in Kingston, I'm genuinely trying to put my grandmother tendencies aside and try to be social. And today I'm reaping the consequences of that. But I had a fun night and it wasn't even that crazy. Like, I was in bed by 1 a.m. So that just goes to show you how out of practice I am. But anyway, none of that is the reason that I wanted to record today. I am recording this kind of at the very last minute. I'm going to try to drop it later today. But I got a job, guys. Woohoo! Finally, I got a job. But yeah, it's been keeping me busy. It's been super fun and really rewarding, and I'm really enjoying it. And I will keep, it's just a contract at the moment. So if I stay on, maybe I'll talk about it a little bit more. But for now, I'm just doing my thing. And it's been good. So that's been keeping me busy. And then, of course, Darla, and just trying to exercise and trying to live my best life. So I didn't think I'd even get an episode out this week, to be honest, but I thought, no, my fans need me to show up for them. Like, I need to be consistent. So here I am, half-heartedly recording for you. Dramatic sigh. Anyway, I had kind of a fun idea for today. I don't know how it's going to go. I'm just going to kind of wing it a little bit as I do. My laptop is not pleased with me right now. It's an old dinosaur. And do you guys ever get your laptops so warm and then they start making this like loud hissing noise, like they're going to explode? So if for some reason this episode dramatically stops halfway through, you probably know why now. Anyway, so I thought it'd be kind of interesting. I found this article by, it's from mentalfloss.com. The article's called, it's under the history section, and it's called 11 Things Women Couldn't Do in the 1920s. Given that kind of the whole premise of this podcast is that I chat about being in your 20s in the 2020s. I don't know if you guys ever got that, but that's kind of like the whole thing with the title. Is it supposed to be, because I started in 2021 and then hopefully it'll keep going all throughout the 2020s. Meanwhile, I'm in my 20s. Haha. Double entendre. And a lot of what we talk about, let's just be real, is female based, because I am a female. So I thought that this would be interesting. I've never really done like a historical episode before. And I guess what I'm going to try to do is not only drop amazing, interesting historical facts, but also compare and contrast. Remember in school, guys, when your teachers, like in your questions for English or something, would be like, compare and contrast the two characters. Compare and contrast. LOL. I like that. That's cool. Anyway, I'm going to just like see if some of these things are drastically different from being a woman in your 20s 100 years later, because it has been 100 years since 1920. It seems like it's been a lot longer than that. The world has just changed so drastically. But in some ways, it kind of hasn't. And you'll see what I mean in a moment. So I don't know if these type of episodes are something that you're at all interested in. I mean, I personally love history. Yeah, I don't know, guys. I need some help today. So I'm going off of this article, because I can't fabricate all the ideas myself today. It's just not going to happen. So the first thing that women can do in the 1920s, in case you're interested, hopefully you're still here, is have their own name printed on a passport. Very interesting. So as you probably know, emigration back and forth was huge in the early 1900s, especially people traveling from like the UK to New York or to North America, trying to start a new life. And a lot of that was on these big, massive ships like the Titanic. But you'd obviously need a passport if you wanted to travel from different countries. So for female travelers, it says passport applications could be rejected based on the name they used or because their husband was already given a passport. So essentially, it was basically you were your husband's property. You did not exist as your own entity, as a human being. If I believe at this time, if you wanted to have like a bank account, it had to go through your husband. Like if you wanted to probably take out a loan, it had to go through your husband. So it essentially says that unmarried women could apply using their maiden name, but married women were issued a joint passport with their husbands, where in the place of their name, the passport granted travel privileges to wife of, insert husband's name. She doesn't even get her own name. She's the wife of. And then essentially it just says married women who requested separate passports from their husbands would often be met with rejections or headaches while traveling. I guess this is obviously quite different from today. Anyone in theory who wants a passport and is applicable for one can get one, whether you're a child, whether you're a woman, whether you're a man. I do wonder, though, if there's restrictions now with just like your gender identity and stuff like that. Maybe you identify as a non-binary person. Can you put that on a passport now? I should do research into that. Let me know if you guys know. Because that could be a whole other realm in terms of gender identity in the 2020s. Maybe that will be a restriction that we need to overcome as we move into the future with passports and government-issued ID. So, of course, we go into fashion, which you guys know I fucking love fashion. I love fashion history, but I just love clothes. And when you think of the 20s, you probably think of the flapper style, right? Featuring knee-length hemlines, garments, the bob haircuts, you know, the pearl necklaces, the layering. But there was actually certain bills in place, depending on the state. This is based, by the way, I believe this article is based out of the United States. Anyway, but just roll with it. It's probably all the same in other places as well. But there were certain bills or laws in place that would restrict women's clothing from being too revealing. So, for example, there was a bill in Virginia, which actually failed to pass, which attempted to prohibit women from wearing shirtwaists or evening gowns, which displayed more than 3 inches of her throat. Yeah, because a throat is so sensual. What the actual hell? It's just a throat. What if she had like a lower neckline, but she had a whole bunch of chokers and jewelry? Would that count? These are the questions that keep me up at night, guys. Utah legislators worked to find women whose skirts were higher than 3 inches above the ankle. And in cities like Carmel, California, women couldn't wear heels taller than 2 inches without a permit from the city in an attempt to stifle tripping and falling related lawsuits. Because us women are just so clumsy and we're just so silly and we just trip over everything and get hurt and we're so breakable. One pattern, guys, you're going to notice throughout this episode, because I've read through these already, is this notion that women need to be protected from themselves or protected from society, that women are incapable of defending themselves, that women are fragile little birds. And yeah, guys, sometimes I do want to be treated like a fragile little bird in the right scenario. Like if I feel a bit sick, I want my boyfriend or whoever to treat me like a princess. In that scenario, I want to be doted on. I want to be cuddled. I want to be, or on Valentine's Day, I want to be treated like, you know, the queen of the world and like literally carried around the house and not have my feet touch the floor. But like on a day-to-day basis, like I can handle my own shit, you know? It's just a respect thing, really. So another thing is that women couldn't have certain kind of jobs. So this was all based, like I just said, in this protective laws idea that it was like regulating how women could work, when they could work. And there was even restrictions for them doing dangerous jobs that could put them not only in danger because maybe they're around men or they're working late nights, but also it could negatively influence their behavior. So that could, what it says here is taxi driving, pool hall workers, and bowling alley employees. Because, you know, the pool hall and the bowling alley were seedy places where really bad stuff happened, guys. And, oof, being a taxi driver. I mean, I feel like that's still a dangerous job even today. And then it was also saying, I believe, that, where is this one? Let's see if I can find it. Yeah, so in tandem, this is, they were banned from working the night shift. So in the 1920s, it was another way to protect women from supposed rough men and health hazards. Both those things still exist out there, guys. And some states implemented laws prohibiting women from working late at night. New York did just that with laws forbidding women to work as waitresses between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. And if a company or a business did allow women to work the night shift, that company could get fined. Not her, but the people who made her work or let her work. Obviously, this was because there's so many, you know, there were so many grimy, sketchy people out there prowling for women. And they could not bear the idea of women being out on the streets past 9 p.m. They needed to be at home tucking in their children and cleaning up the kitchen. I think in some ways this is kind of sweet in a backwards way. Like, I do, because I'm an avid true crime junkie, I do recognize like how dangerous the world is for women. And I'm sure it was just as dangerous in the 1920s as it is now. Like, it is still very dangerous for women to walk around alone at night or to work late shifts on their own or to drive home alone. Like, you hear horror stories all the time of sex trafficking or just horrible stuff. So I think it's unfair that like men can go out and make extra money and work whenever they want because they can comfortably walk down a street. Women should be able to do that, and hopefully we'll get there one day. But currently you're lying to yourself if you think that women are as safe alone at night as men are. Like, it's just not the case. So I think like this idea is kind of sweet in a way of trying to protect women. Like, at least society was aware of the dangers. But obviously we need to fix the inherent systemic problem instead of just like forbidding women from doing normal stuff. Anyway, I thought that was kind of perversely sweet, but also really messed up. Anyway, another really interesting thing is that if a woman got married to a non-American citizen, she would have her citizenship revoked. So let's say she was born and raised in the States and she married a guy from Bosnia. I don't know. Because she loved him and he was the love of her life, she would no longer be considered an American citizen and they would just be like floating in no man's land. And, you know, it says here that apparently it didn't make that much of a difference in their day-to-day lives. But when it came to World War I, the women were forced to register as enemy aliens. In 1922, the Cable Act passed, allowing women to retain their citizenship regardless of their betrothed citizenship. Betrothed? Let me know how to say that, guys. So that's good. You know, women barely had an identity to begin with in the 1920s, but if they married a non-American, they would just fully have no identity or no citizenship whatsoever. That's insane. Obviously, I don't think that happens anymore. I don't think it's that extreme, but obviously the immigration system is so backwards. And even like green card marriages and stuff, it's all so complicated. Army, like military marriages, there's all these rules and regulations and restrictions, and you can be charged with fraud if you, it's all crazy. It's very convoluted. It clearly always has been. But thankfully, even if I were to marry, I don't know, let's just say an English guy, I could still be a Canadian girly girl, which is very important. So actually, women, you know, they were given the right to vote because of the amazing work of the suffragettes. But they also were eventually after that given more rights in general. And one of those was they were able to study law and pass the bar. But even if they were technically lawyers and passed the bar exam, they often were not hired by companies. And this was fine. Like, there was no idea back then of having equal employment options, like diversity within the workplace. None of that was on anybody's radar back in the 1920s. So women could be hired by legal firms, but it would always typically be for roles such as a law librarian, a law secretary, or a stenographer. For many female lawyers, joining their father or husband's practice was the only way they would actually be able to be in court. In terms of working, there was very limited options in the 1920s for women. I mean, you could be like a housewife or maybe a maid. You could be a librarian. You could be a teacher. You could be a nurse. You could be a secretary. And that's pretty much it. So we've made a lot of progress that way. I mean, women can do whatever they set their mind to nowadays. You maybe can't be a sperm donor. I think that would probably be the only restriction, but let's see where medical innovation takes us in 5 years. But yeah, it is really amazing that me as a young woman in my 20s could literally choose any career path that I set my mind to. With that being said, there's obviously the caveat of having equal pay, having equal opportunity, and basically just equal respect and treatment in the workplace. Yes, maybe I could get hired in the same place as any man, but am I going to be treated the same way in that workplace? That's a whole other story. Am I going to be treated very differently when I get pregnant? Am I going to be ostracized? Am I going to be, you know, which is actually something I want to chat about now. So it was basically impossible, not that I'm pregnant, guys. So it was basically impossible for women to hold any sort of job while pregnant. Essentially, they would try to hold the secret or disguise their bump for as long as humanly possible, because essentially, like, the minute that it came out that they were pregnant, they would be fired. And that was perfectly legal. There was no laws protecting women, protecting mothers. There was not really any maternity leave. And this wording just cracks me up, so I have to read it for you guys. Women of the 1920s regularly faced unemployment after finding themselves, quote, in the family way, quote. I've never heard pregnancy referred to that before, but it's kind of cool. It's kind of, I mean, you hear so many different ways that people say someone's pregnant. Like, I know in the UK and in Australia, they say fallen pregnant or fell pregnant. But you would never really say that unless you're super old school in North America. I'm in the family way, guys. Can you imagine saying that to someone, like announcing you're pregnant? Like, hey guys, I'm in the family way. Like, I don't think one person would understand what you're talking about. And this is pretty insane too. So working women went to lengths for concealing their pregnancies using the decades loose flapper fashions to hide their changing bodies. Ads for maternity clothing even advertised styles to help women be, quote, entirely free from embarrassment of a noticeable appearance during a trying period, end quote. Just take a minute to process that. This is the shit we have to deal with, men, even in advertising. That one's not interesting. We're going to skip that one. Okay, women couldn't enlist or receive benefits for military work. So that's kind of BS. I mean, all of the Uncle Sam idea of, oh, you gotta go fight for your country, you gotta be a man, you gotta prove your worth as a man, you'd be completely ostracized and tormented in society if you were a quote-unquote like working, or like if you were a young, healthy, eligible man to go to war, even if you did have some sort of issue like a heart murmur or you were hard of hearing. Those would be the type of things that would actually make you ineligible to go to war, but maybe someone on the street wouldn't see those issues up front, and so would just assume that this guy's a coward and he didn't want to enlist. And so those guys would get tormented. And I don't often express sympathy for men on this podcast, but that does suck. And I mean, I read a lot of World War II literature and stuff, and that's kind of a recurring issue, is men either were sent home because they were ill or they weren't allowed to join because of some medical reason. And sometimes they ended up even taking their own lives just out of shame because they were so shamed by their compatriots and by society. But on the flip side, women were kind of brought into the workforce for the first time, working in factories, working for like just kind of as secretaries, tracking messages, decoding things, doing the, what's the clicky thing? You guys know what I'm talking about. Morse code, all of that. Women were very, very necessary for the war effort. And but often it was all behind the scenes stuff. So they wouldn't receive perhaps as much glory as fighting soldiers would. But I guess they didn't even receive benefits either. And that work was on either a voluntary basis or a civilian contract, meaning women couldn't earn any military or veteran benefits for their efforts. So, you know, maybe after a veteran completes his mission or his duty, he'll go on to receive veteran benefits and certain perks for the rest of his life, you know, as he should. But I think a woman who's involved heavily in the war effort should also get those things. So it says women were cut from their volunteer positions thanks to military rules that banned women from volunteering or enlisting during peace times. So this was after the war of 1914 to 1918 finished. And women who had been literally steering the ship, keeping things afloat, working their ass off, they were just kicked out of there back into the homestead. It was like, thanks for being a placeholder, bye. But in 1948, there was actually an act that passed that let women enlist at any time and receive similar rights and benefits to male veterans. Keyword, similar. Women also, I love this title, were not allowed to hate housework. You just weren't allowed. Because that was basically what you were meant to do all day, every day. So if you hate it, you're screwed. And I'm sure almost all of them did hate it, but they weren't allowed to express that. They were supposed to be grateful to have a home and a family to care after. Cannot relate to this in any way. You guys know I hate working hard. I like keeping a tidy home and taking care of my space for me. But the moment it's like expected of me in any sort of domestic notion of like, if a guy's joking around even, like, oh, like you're going to cook me dinner. Like a rage takes over my body that I can't explain. Like I will cook you dinner if I feel like it because I'm just like a cool person. But if you are start saying shit like that, like, oh, where's your apron in the kitchen? Like we cannot date. That's just not an energy that I can get on board with. But hey, some women, honestly, this is not at all an insult. And I think for many years, and even probably today, this is seen as an insult. Like some women are truly born and bred to be stay-at-home wives and mothers. And like that is the hardest job of any job on earth. And they love, genuinely love and enjoy cleaning, cooking, taking care of people, nurturing people. And if that's what you genuinely enjoy and get fulfillment doing, then you should absolutely get to do that and receive no judgment or shame from other men, women, or society. It's just interesting. Now, Amanda and I talked about this in one of our first episodes when we were talking about baby fever or something, I think, that it's almost gone so far the other direction, like the pendulum has swung so far the other direction that if, because Amanda and I were saying potentially like, oh yeah, like when we have kids, like I'd love to be a stay-at-home mom for the first 5 years or whatever. Like I hardly have the energy to work full-time right now and I don't have kids. Like I don't want to be so torn in a million different directions. Like I want to just focus on one thing that's in front of me and do the best I can do. But not only is the cost of living nearly impossible for a one income home, but also I think you would probably get like a bit of scrutiny from people for that. Like, you know, everyone's, oh, when are you going back to work? Or, oh, like you're excited to get back to work. It's, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm speaking out of turn, but I think some women now, when they say that they're just a stay-at-home mom, perhaps they feel a little bit of like embarrassment or maybe like they're not doing enough or they're not being well-rounded enough. But we need to end that stigma ASAP because like there is truly nothing harder in the world than being a mother or a father. But you have to admit, guys, there's extra pressure on mothers. So this says here, electric household tools and equipment helped free women of the 1920s from some domestic duties while reducing the time spent on cleaning, cooking, and taking care of the homes. I'm assuming they're talking about like vacuums and stuff like that. but it doesn't exactly say what technology they're referring to. But even with a little help, women of the 20s were expected to embrace their household work as a path of self-fulfillment. Advice columns and housekeeping experts of the time often suggested that women who were lucky enough to have fancy appliances but still hated housework suffered from personal maladjustment. Women's magazines regularly championed women's stories of giving up their careers and personal achievements for a return to 100% domesticity. So, whereas now, it's like I said, the tables have turned. It's almost, you're applauded for going, like, let's say you're an actress or something and you take a few years off because you're a mother. And then it's kind of like when you make that big return to go back into the industry, back into your career, chase your dreams, then you're more applauded because it's like, oh, look at her. She's doing it all. She didn't give up on her own career to become a mom. Back then, it was the complete opposite. If a woman gave up all of her personal stuff to become 100% domestic wife and mother, that was the route that was most applauded. So we just can't win. That's the moral of the story. You know, it's like, it's just hard. You can't be too eager. You can't be too lazy. You can't want too much or want too little. It is very hard to navigate your place in this world as a woman, both in 2020 and in 1920, but there's no denying that we have been afforded more freedom and more flexibility than ever before. But as with anything, it's an ongoing fight. It's an ongoing dialogue. And I'm obviously a passionate feminist, and really interesting to read this and kind of put some things in perspective. Despite having the legal right to vote as of August 18th, 1920, it would take decades for all women to be able to vote, much less serve on a jury. By the end of the Roaring Twenties, only 24 states permitted women to determine the innocence or guilt of their peers, while the remaining states began allowing women to serve in the following decades. Mississippi was the last holdout, shocking, keeping women out of jury pools until 1968. So it took Mississippi, like, what, 40 years to catch up? Come on, what's that about? I mean, I think women definitely, I guess the final note I would say is women are definitely allowed to embrace their sexuality a lot more. I honestly, like, would pay money to see a man or woman or just like a group of people watch like a Doja Cat video or like a Nicki Minaj video back in the 1920s. Like, they literally would all drop dead of a heart attack. Because like I said earlier, they couldn't show more than 3 inches of their neck. And now we have these gorgeous, like, curvy, confident women twerking their ass on the screen for everyone to see and enjoy. And I'm so here for it. We have movies like Hustlers that are showing the ins and outs of this, of exotic dancing. We have movies like Magic Mike, which are created for the female gaze, for women to enjoy, for women to get horned up while watching. You know, there's entire porn industries that are solely made for women's pleasure and women's enjoyment. And so many women now are buying more sex toys and learning how to please themselves and learning how to communicate in sex. I really, like, I imagine hardly any women actually had orgasms back in the 1920s. Let's be honest. Like, we know the statistics. We know how hard it is for women in a heteronormative relationship to have orgasms straight through sex without any foreplay or any clitoral stimulation, let alone, like, probably not having a lot of freedom in the 1920s to express what you want, your desires, your fantasies. Like, tragic, truly tragic. I hope a few of them had some good sex, but yeah, it is really wonderful in terms of fashion, makeup, music, sex. Women are really embracing their sensuality, their bodies, their curves, and that's amazing to see. And it's really empowering me to enjoy being a woman instead of resenting it. But there are still some topics, I think, potentially like periods, that still seem so taboo for some reason. There's still lots of things that are still taboo and still have a stigma on them in regards to women's bodies, sexualities, bodily functions, needs, desires, hormones. A lot of that is still unknown. And but overall, there's been tons of progress. And I do think if you're a cool man, if you're the type of man I want to know, you are here for it. You love an empowered woman. You love a confident woman. You love to see women feeling sexy, showing off their body, wearing what they want to wear, saying what they want to say. And if you're the type of guy who's trying to stifle all that, then I don't want to know you. Because you guys have had the floor. You've had the fucking pedestal for hundreds and hundreds of years. Just give us a minute to shake our ass on the stage. Like, give us a minute to say our opinion. Give us a minute to step into the spotlight. Like, you've had your turn. The future is female, guys. No, I don't know how I feel about that saying, to be honest. But, and if I ever have a daughter one day, I'm happy that she has a lot more freedom in the 2020s than she ever would have had in the 1920s. And we have to thank our ancestors for that, for all the work that they put in back then and how much they fought for future generations. So I guess I'll leave it at that. I hope this is still recording. I haven't even checked. Oh yeah, okay, perfect. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I know it's a little different. I kind of enjoyed it. It was a fun little dialogue that I had with myself. And now I feel like I've done something productive with my day because I did a little brainstorming sesh. I talked out some things. I learned some things. And hopefully you learned some things too. So please don't forget to subscribe to my podcast on whatever streaming service that you listen to. I believe you can now leave reviews on Spotify. So make sure you do that because I know a lot of my listeners are Spotify listeners and haven't left a review yet. You can also follow me on Instagram if you want. My name is Sarah Birch and podcast is 20.somethings.podcast. And I'm going to start, I promise, doing more video content soon. I just was not in the mood today and it is what it is. And that's it. I hope you guys have a wonderful week. Stay safe, stay healthy, wear your sunscreen. Wow, I'm really tired. I'm going to have a nap now. Bye.